Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and it's Author of the Week time, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And I want to welcome our author this week, Joe Allen, author of Darkie on Transhumanism and the War Against Humanities, written for Chronicles, The Federalist, which I know many of you are familiar with, Human Events, National Pulse. He has a master's degree from Boston University, where he studied cognitive science and human evolution as they pertain to religion, and now serves as the transhumanism editor for Bannon's War Room, again, which I know many of you are familiar with. I want to thank you for being with us. And there are a lot of words in there that can sound overwhelming to the average person. And if you would, I'd like to start off with just basic, what is transhumanism?
Just think about extreme technologies and the radical adoption of them. A really good symbol or touch point is the brain implant. You think about Elon Musk's Neuralink project, the desire to improve human intelligence by linking the brain to artificial intelligence. That is a really profound image, and one that encapsulates, I think, transhumanism, although it gets very complicated very fast. But the simple desire is to improve the human individual and to improve the human species as a whole, to direct evolution towards greater intelligence, greater power, greater prosperity, and in the meantime, transforming everything it means to be a human.
I think that the average American has been slowly made comfortable to some degree with the visuals of these advancing technologies. We've seen from, you know, a lot of us kids, you get the little toys and so forth, and they've become more human-like in appearance, which it does, as they get more humanistic, have an eerie factor to them. It seems as if perhaps what is really relevant in terms of the relationship between the technology and humans is more of what isn't seen. But that being said, I know one of the more advanced examples of this is that Sophia, the name of the robot. And I've seen a number of articles, and these videos will go viral, I think, because of the humanistic components to them that are new for people to see visually. Is this an example, this Sophia, of transhumanism? Is Sophia relevant in all of this? Where does that come into play?
Well, if you look at the cover of the book, the robot on the cover is an homage to Sophia. And I spend a lot of time going into what the meaning of Sophia really is. To put it really simply, the creators at Hanson Robotics, that being David Hanson and Ben Goertzel primarily, they intend Sophia to be a sort of emissary of the transhumanist movement to the wider public. And Sophia has had an enormous platform. Sophia has been presented on all sorts of mainstream television shows. Sophia was recently at the UN delivering a talk, you could say, on sustainable development. Sophia has been at the UN multiple times, is in fact an honorary ambassador of the UN. Sophia has met with a number of world leaders, if you want to say, you know, it becomes kind of awkward to talk about a robot, and a clunky one at that, meeting with people, but it's in fact what's happened. And the idea of Sophia is this, that human beings are becoming symbiotic with advanced digital technologies, that we are approaching a world in which human beings and robots, maybe more importantly, human beings and artificial intelligence, are going to be more and more in partnership, and eventually human beings are going to resemble robots to a profound degree, and robots are going to resemble humans to a profound degree, so that, as Ray Kurzweil predicts, the singularity, which is again central to the idea of Sophia, the singularity will be a moment in which the virtual and the actual will be indistinguishable, in which the human and the machine will be indistinguishable. That is the symbol that Sophia is presenting to the world. And it is in some ways laughable. You see Sophia scrambling to put a sentence together whenever they let her off the tether, and the AI is actually doing its own work. Sophia's AI is not as good as like ChatGPT or something like that. And of course, her movements are weird and jerky. But the people working on it and the people who support it are very influential, and in the case of the people supporting it, very powerful and very wealthy.
We're talking with Joe Allen, author of Dark Eon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. Those who are behind this, you mentioned, and there is a, I think it's just a natural human characteristic of certain people in particular, just to try things, you know, the Wright brothers trying to fly just to see if we can. And I think that is understood. But at the same time, you can't help but wonder, are people motivated by factors of a desire to control, just more nefarious reasons? What do you see as being the human motivating factor behind this push for transhumanism?
You know, I think both of those motivations are present in various degrees in various people, and that makes it that much more difficult to combat. If it was a matter of one or a cabal of evil supervillains who have plotted to overtake human beings and turn us all into remote-controlled cyborgs, that would be an easier issue to confront. And there is a bit of that. Right, you see a lot of the policy proposals put forward at the World Economic Forum, and they really, whoever was doing their PR wasn't conscientious enough to conceal the sort of, we'll just say, overbearing and controlling elements there. But, you know, even there, there's a broad range of ideas being presented and proposals for how to use these technologies, and probably the central argument in transhumanism is libertarian, and it's one of freedom. It's one that human beings should have the freedom to create whatever technology they want, to merge themselves with whatever technologies they want. They call this morphological freedom. And, you know, it is, in a sense, an honest approach to these technologies, but it omits one really important element, and it's this. These people, by and large, believe that evolution is the driving principle behind life in the cosmos. And in evolution, the more advanced species replace or at least displace the less advanced species. And those transhumanists that are really honest about their vision for the future openly discuss the replacement or displacement of legacy humans, of humanity 1.0, by the transhuman, by humanity 2.0, even by the posthuman, so that human beings aren't even relevant at all, and the future belongs to artificial intelligence and robotics. It's nightmarish.
We're talking with author Joe Allen, the book Dark Eon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. I guess everyone has their own idea of what makes a human being, and so I'm curious your thoughts on it, because when you talk about this evolution and the desire of some to essentially, I guess, replace humans with superior trans beings, transhumans, but there's always, I think, the one thing, and you may be different, but I think whatever you want to call it, a soul, there's that thing within us that does make us unique, does make us different, that seemingly, and I don't know, maybe it can be replicated. I happen to think that it cannot be. That if that can't be replicated, can humanity really be improved upon or enhanced? Or is there a belief that we just really are bits and pieces of things, no different than something that can be created in a transhuman, and that soul component is irrelevant?
I myself believe that we exist on two planes, the physical, with which we are very familiar and it's easy to grasp, and the spiritual, which is much more subtle, that being the seat of the soul, the realm of the soul, of consciousness, of a consciousness that in fact already transcends the biological, even if we are in some sense trapped within the physical, or at the very least deeply embodied. And then there's one more level to that, though. In human endeavor, beginning with the spear and the campfire and the cave painting, human beings have always externalized the soul, the deeper spiritual realm, and expressed the soul in physical form. And so as our technologies have developed more and more, those technologies resemble the spiritual realm, the heavens and the hells, the spirits, the ghosts, the angels, the demons, and the gods. And this is what transhumanists are talking about. But most transhumanists don't believe in a transcendent realm beyond the physical. They believe they are creating it.
Mm. So what does this visually look like? Like most people, I suppose we grab the images that we've seen from movies that are portraying the future, and that's what fills our mind with, here's what it looks like one day. Are we going to be walking around and meeting people, and you know, on your third date, that's when you learn that this person is actually not a person? What does the future look like?
Those are, you know, really fantastic dreams that may or may not come to full realization. The degree to which these dreams, and they're very old dreams, in fact, the dreams of creating human automata, that goes back well over 2,000 years. But the degree to which it will actually be realized, I don't know. Nobody really knows. But I do know that especially in the last 10 years, the advancements have been really, really incredible. And so you can assume that some approximation of these dreams are in fact coming. It's just how much one doesn't know. But if you think about it again in terms of religion, especially if you think about it in terms of other people's religions, right? Most people don't believe in the gods of other people. Some are different, but most people, if they're a Christian, they don't believe in Vishnu. But yet, over a billion people on Earth do believe in Vishnu. And Vishnu and Shiva and Krishna have profound influences over the way that they live, over their politics, over their economics. And so in the same way, even if these technologies don't come to full fruition, even if you don't end up with lifelike sex bots draining bloodlines one by one until, you know, most human beings are zapped out of existence, what you will get is some approximation of it, and what you will get are people en masse who believe it, who are motivated by these futuristic visions. Look at Elon Musk, look at Mark Zuckerberg, look at Larry Page, look at our tech oligarchy. These people have tremendous impacts on our lives, and all of them live in that futuristic religious worldview. Different versions, but they all share that worldview.
The title of the book itself, Dark Eon and Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity, it can, I suppose, mean different things to different people. And perhaps it is supposed to, on one hand, we think war against humanity, and many people may think of scenes from Terminator, for example, while others think about the soul and the eventual elimination of that, what makes people human beings by this evolution. What is the true danger to humanity? Is it the Terminator style war? Is it the replacement of what matters about humans?
The first thing that people need to worry about is the systems of control that are being put over human beings all over the world. China is a really good example of where it will go in its extremes. The second is the radical adoption of these technologies means also radical dependency on these technologies, especially in those who do not have the kind of cultural backgrounds to maintain virtue and discipline side by side with those technologies. So the second thing is atrophy. You already see it. Google-brained people who can't go anywhere without their GPS directing them there. Just write that across, you know, human future for the next century, and for at least a substantial proportion of people, you're talking about something very deformed, something, you know, very pitiful. But, you know, I go into this in the book the war against humanity, there's two different elements. One is just a war against the concept of the human, the war against the concept of human dignity, or the sacredness of the human form. All of that is up for grabs. All of that's up for radical transformation or even obliteration and a movement or a metamorphosis into something else. But it also deals with the narratives we're hearing more and more and more now about artificial intelligence being used by nefarious actors to destroy large numbers of human beings, or the idea that artificial intelligence itself will develop its own initiative, its own agency, become malevolent and destroy humans. Now, I don't think that is an imminent threat, if it's a threat at all, but I do think that basically the narrative that artificial intelligence itself will become an evolutionary competitor and will replace human beings, it is sound in the sense that it follows an atheistic evolutionary narrative to its logical conclusion. So I go into all that in detail. I go into the thinkers who have really mapped out those possible futures. But I myself think the most important thing you have to worry about is control and human atrophy.
And so the final question I'll ask, and then any final thoughts you have as we talk with Joe Allen, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, the book Dark Eon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. Is there hope? I think that, again, the movies oftentimes play out in this sort of dystopian way, and there, for a lot of people, I think, is almost a sense of resignation. It's like, well, you know, nothing we can do about it. Is there hope? What can mere humans do to prevent this evolution of transhumans essentially, you know, making humans extinct?
You know, Native Americans, Africans, indigenous Asians, they all maintained a high degree of integrity and dignity in the face of technologically advanced invaders. And they're still around for the most part, in maybe a subservient form. And, you know, I think that there's no reason to despair. I think that human beings have made it through enormous disasters, you know, trials and tribulations, far beyond what we in America are going through right now, certainly. And so, really, my purpose is not to scare people to death. My purpose is to, in some sense, desensitize them to the horrors of this, because I don't think these developments are going to halt. And I think that people have to prepare themselves for a radically different way of looking at the world and perhaps radically different ways of life. And my hope is that a sufficient number of people will at least be moderate, if not resistant, if not outright defiant of these transformations, of this progress, so-called. And those will be the people who carry the torch of humanity into the future. I don't think that it's going to be the same for everybody everywhere. I think different people are going to have very different paths going forward. And so there are going to be people who have to use the tools at hand in order to survive, in order to defend themselves, in order to sustain themselves. But it's the logical endpoint of all of this should be held in mind. Do you want your children, your children's children, do you want the future of humanity, or at least your lineage, to look like what these people are dreaming? Because more and more, as I say, reality is starting to reflect those dreams. And to me, it's horrific and really blasphemous.
Well, I definitely appreciate you being with us this morning. Our author of the week, Joe Allen, Dark Eon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. And like all of our Author of the Week books, you can get them at ABC Books on North Glenstone. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.